Okay, Ephesians chapter 5. You all right? If you need water, you can go up and get up and get some. Okay, chapter 5, verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. The word followers is the word imitators. It's the Greek word mimetos, which means like to mimic, to copy, to imitate. This is a pretty interesting verse when you think about it. It has great implications because it says that we are to be imitators. We are to copy God. How do you copy God? The only thing we can copy God in is things that it says that he does, and to the extent that we have the ability or the power that we do them. So, for instance, it says God loves. So if we are to be imitators of God, we are to love. It says that God is not a respecter of persons in situations and circumstances. You have to read places where it talks about that. And so in those respects and in those ways, we shouldn't be respecters of persons, if that makes sense. For instance, when we judge something or we try to help somebody or help settle an argument, we shouldn't be respecters of persons. We should be honest and listen and objective. So things like that. And one of the great attributes of God is that he gives. And he doesn't just give a little. He doesn't just give now or then. He doesn't give with strings attached. He does what he does because he loves us. And he doesn't just give what's easy to give, does he? He gives a full commitment. And from the very beginning, God has given man the very best he could give in the situations that man was in. So let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 26. And, you know, when you study the Word of God, you know, one of the ways that we would study maybe is we would look at a word like the word to give or gift, because a gift is given, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But we could also look at context and see what is being described. And sometimes you'll see that people give to other people. It may not use words like that, but it's obvious that things are given. And that's kind of the case here. It says in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Well, the first thing he did was he gave them dominion, didn't he?
Right.
He gave them dominion. It says here he let them have dominion, but he gave it to them. It was his to give. So he did that. Then it says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. So he also gave them things to eat, sustenance, to support them and take care of them so that they could live. And he gave it to them. And in this case, at this time, they didn't really have to do a lot to get those things, did they? I mean, because it was a perfect environment, perfect weather conditions, a perfect place. Nothing had been screwed up or messed up or polluted or anything else. So it was pretty lush and probably very good. Let's go to chapter 2. We're just, you know what? Could you go pick it up and see who it is? Or just tell me who it is? Okay, hit the green and then hit the red. There you go. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. He also gave him the garden," which, you know, the whole earth was not the garden. A garden is an enclosed place. And so the Garden of Eden was a very specific place on the earth, and God gave that to Adam to watch over and to take care of. So he also gave him responsibility. "And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." And again, he gave him to reap the benefits of the garden. So that was pretty good. So one thing this tells us about God in the beginning was that he was very generous to man. He gave them all that they needed. He had their very best interest at heart. And then, of course, when they fell, what did he do? He clothed them. You know, he brought them clothes to wear. And he promised them that the Redeemer would come and reconcile them back to him. So God is always generous, he's always giving, and he always has the best interest of us in mind. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And verse 7. Chapter 8, verse 7. I'm in the wrong place. "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains, and depths, that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he giveth thee." So he gave him this land, and it had all his stuff, right? It had a land of milk and honey, pomegranates, olive oil, fountains, iron, brass, and everything else. So I'm sure that's somewhat figurative, meaning everything that you need will be there, because it was a tremendous place to go. So that's pretty great. And really, all he asked in return of them was that they do what? Yeah, bless the Lord thy God for the good which he hath given thee. Be thankful. Be thankful to God for what he's given. Worship him, love him, so on and so forth. Let's go to Psalm 84. Psalm 84 and verse 11. "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." So here it says that in this part in the Old Testament, if a man walked uprightly, he got grace and glory, and no good thing would he withhold from him. That's a pretty good thing he gave, right? He was always giving. Okay, now we're going to go to Psalm 104. Verse 24, it says, well, let's see. Verse 23, man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan, whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thy hand, and they are filled with good. You know, that's pretty cool, because if you look at nature, you know, the animals do all kinds of things, but they know where to go, where the food is, don't they? Mm-hmm. It's amazing. They know the right direction to go at the right time. The birds know where to fly. And they did a stupid thing on migrations on the Discovery Channel or something. But, you know, like these geese, they fly from the central part of Asia, and they fly over the Himalayan mountains to go to India at a certain time of year, and then they mate and they have their babies and they eat and get strong, and then they fly back over the... I figured if I flew over the Himalayas once, that would be enough. They go back and forth every year. You know, like we used to have Canadian geese flying north and south. Now they just stay in Pennsylvania. Because there's lots of food here. Probably. But, you know, the whales, they migrate and they go to the polar regions because that's where all the food is. See, God provided that for them. He gave that. He makes everything bountiful and the animals know where to get it. And he did the same thing for man. He showed man how to have food. He made it available. He gave us all things that are good. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 2. Chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, we're going to read. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. So what does he do here? It says he gives wisdom and knowledge. What do we need wisdom and knowledge for? So we don't get taken advantage of, or we don't screw up, or we don't do stupid things. Right? You know, when you have a baby or a child and you raise them up, you try to teach them to have certain wisdom about things so that they don't get hurt, right? Teach kids not to run out in the street without watching. You teach them not to touch hot things like on the stove, things like that. You know, you're giving some wisdom. Well, God's the same way. He gives us wisdom so that we know what to do and what not to do. He's made all his wisdom and knowledge available for us. Then it says, he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. What does that mean? A buckler is the thing that's on the front of a shield. It's like a spear point. And so this shield is like for protection. So God gives us protection. But not only that, he gives us a weapon to ward off attackers. See, he's our buckler. He keeps the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. So again, he gives us a safe way to go, to walk through life. That's pretty giving, isn't it? Sometimes we just think of God giving us things. You know? God, I need this. Would you give it to me? But he does much more than that. Let's go to Peter. 2 Peter. It's more than just things. He gives us wisdom and knowledge so that we know how to deal with things and situations, how to be wise in decision-making in our life, how to handle situations. He helps us and protects us and keeps us out of danger, probably a lot more times than we even realize. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So here it says according to his divine power. The word divine is a form of the word theos. It means godly. So according to his godly power, he hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So it's knowledge. He's given us, it goes on to say, through knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. By his divine power, he has given us all things that pertain to life. And that's the word life. It means any and all aspects of life. And godliness. And godliness is to have a true spiritual relationship, a vital, alive, great relationship with God. It's not a religious relationship, but it's a father-child relationship. So he's given us that. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So you really can't want for anything else if you tap into those things. And then he goes on, whereby are given unto us. However, God continues on. He says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Great and precious promises. The word great, you know the word mega, right? Mega is great. It's a Greek word that we use in English. So like, you ever see the lottery signs? It says the mega millions. It's the great millions, or means a lot, right? Large in size. The word here is the superlative. It's megistos. It means greatest. So it really reads, unto us are given the greatest precious promises, or the greatest great precious promises. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, godly nature, having escaped the corruption in the world through the lusts, or through lust. So God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through a knowledge of him, which is pretty great, which is, you know, everything we need to know to live life and to have a good relationship with God. And he's given us exceeding great, or the greatest and valuable, precious, important promises. And it says exceeding the greatest, however that means. If you think about it, it's mind-boggling. He's given us exceeding the greatest and precious or most valuable promises. I don't know how you can get past the greatest, but he did it. And promises are offers or declarations. You know, a promise is an offer. You know, I promise to do this for you. And it's an offer. Or God sometimes declares, I will do this for you. I'm going to do this for you. And really all it takes for us to do is to accept it, to receive it. Okay, let's go to 2 Timothy. Chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 7. It says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Now that's a good thing that he has not given us. He absolutely declares he has not given us the spirit of fear. So that's pretty good, isn't it? But in contrast to not giving us the spirit of fear, he has given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And there's an and between each one, which means it emphasizes each and every one of them separately. So he has given us love, which is the love of God. It's agape. It's power, which is dunamis, means inherent power. And a sound mind, which means a sober mind, a whole mind, a sound mind. It's pretty great. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. Chapter 1 of Galatians, verse 3. Grace be unto you, peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this says this in every epistle, right? Every epistle starts off grace and peace. Well, God has given us grace and peace. Remember we read in Psalms, it said he has given grace and glory to those that walk uprightly. Well, we don't even have that requirement. If you're born again, you have grace and peace available to you. To manifest that in your life is up to you, right? If you want to be, if you want to see God's grace in your life, if you want to see his loving kindness towards you, you just have to accept it and receive it. If you want peace in your life, you just have to lock into God's peace. He will give you peace. There doesn't have to be turmoil. Then it goes on, who gave himself, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who, speaking of Jesus Christ, gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So here, Jesus Christ gave himself, and of course, God gave us Jesus Christ, who gave himself. And he gave himself so that we would be delivered from this present evil world, which we will be. You know, and sometimes we don't see the promises of God come necessarily at any particular time. We may not see it, you know, in our lifetime. For instance, we may fall asleep, but we will be delivered from this present evil world when Jesus Christ comes back. If we're alive, we'll be changed. If we are asleep, we'll be raised and we'll all get new bodies. So that promise will come to pass one way or the other. But we're also delivered from this evil world day to day when we look to God and allow him to deliver us and protect us and take care of us. Whenever we need deliverance, God will be there to deliver us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So you're thinking, well, okay, how can I be an imitator of God? Well, here it says that God gave grace and peace. Can you give grace and peace? Sure. You can be gracious towards people. What does grace mean? It means undeserved favor, right? So you can give favor. You can give to people favor and help and love and anything else, whether they deserve it or not. That's being gracious. As a matter of fact, in Timothy, one of the things that God exhorts Timothy, it says, be strong in grace. So, you know, sometimes somebody doesn't make you happy about the way they are, or they're not nice. We can be gracious towards those people and show them favor. We can remember that God was gracious towards us when we're not so nice, right? We're not always perfect or nice. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. So we can be enriched in him, in Christ, in all utterance and all knowledge. Is enriched a good thing or a bad thing? It's a good thing, right? We are enriched. How are we enriched? I don't know. In any way, I guess you need it. Physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, whatever. But, you know, especially spiritually. We all need to be enriched. And if we're enriched spiritually, it'll manifest itself in other parts of our life. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's another thing that God has promised us and told us, that none of us will come behind in any gift. Because we all get the same thing from God, don't we? God's no respecter of persons, as far as that's concerned. He will do as much for one person as he does for another. So whatever he would do for Lisa, he will do for Amanda. Or he'll do for Bobby. He'll do the same for all of us. For Dougie. Nobody is accepted. Everybody gets, and nobody comes behind. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we come behind in no gift, and it will be confirmed in us. It is confirmed in us by Holy Spirit. And it says, God is faithful, to whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And it says that God is faithful. That means he will absolutely do what he says. What a great thing. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You know, it has been said, and it's true. Nobody can outgive God. Not even Santa. Or the Easter Bunny. Okay, let's see. Chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then it goes on and say, until, really is referring to the return of Christ. So God gave to the church gift ministries, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. What does that mean? It's, they're here to help each and every person. And for the work of the ministry, you know, the ministry, the body of Christ, and for the building up of the body of Christ. You know, the work of the ministry is the service involved in the body of Christ, and the edifying is the building up of the body. And that's what those things are for, and God gave them to the church, and if you're part of the church, he gave them to you. May not have given you the specific ministry, but he gave those ministries to help you. And if you're fortunate to have a gift ministry, it's to help others, not to enrich yourself. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 21. Really? I got the wrong verses then, I think. Okay, let's forget that. We'll go to 1 John 5. 1 John 5. And verse 11 says, and this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So God gave eternal life. Now, he didn't sell it, did he? He didn't do an auction on eBay or one of those things. Imagine if you could auction off eternal life. You know, there's great stories like when the Spanish explorers came over in the early days, the early 1500s or late, whenever it was. And was it Ponce de Leon? Searched for the Fountain of Youth. He expended enormous amounts of time and energy because there was this myth that somewhere there was a Fountain of Youth. Yeah. How much was that worth? See? So if you think about that, you know, history is full of examples of people searching for the Fountain of Youth or a utopia or a Garden of Eden or a place where everything is perfect. And God's given it to us. And all we have to do is believe. It says in Ephesians that he's given us the earnest of his inheritance. I mean, yeah, the earnest, which is Holy Spirit, the earnest of his Spirit, which is proof that we have eternal life. And let's go to Romans chapter 8. Chapter 8 of Romans and verse 32. It says that he, referring to God, that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And it's set in terms of a question, but the question doesn't require an answer, does it? Because the answer is obvious. If God was so loving and so caring that he was willing to give his own son and delivered him up for us, why wouldn't he give us anything else? And of course the answer is he would give us anything else because he gave the greatest thing that he could possibly give. It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So that was the greatest thing that God could possibly ever give. And so everything else follows along that if he would give the greatest, why wouldn't he give the lesser things? And the answer, of course, is yes. Let's close in Psalms. Psalm 145. So we are to be imitators of God. And when we look through, we see continuously, Old Testament and New Testament, how giving God is. And he gives in every aspect of life. He gives wisdom. He gives knowledge. He gives love. He gives grace. He gives peace. He gives prosperity. He gives everything. And that's what he does. So it says that we are to be imitators of God. So we can give those things too, can't we? Mm-hmm. We can give out his word to people. We can give grace. We can give peace. We can give love. We can help people. We can help each other. We can give praise to God. We can worship God. We can give God our allegiance as he's given us his allegiance. He's committed himself to us. We can commit ourselves to him. Verse 14. These psalms are psalms of praise. The last few psalms of the Psalms, Book of Psalms. We're going to start in verse 14. The Lord upholdeth all that fall. It's a nice promise. And raises up all those that be bowed down. You know, that could be physical, that could be mental, couldn't it? People are physically bowed down. But then there are people that are mentally bowed down or spiritually bowed down. They're, you know, oppressed. Mm-hmm. It says here that the Lord will raise them up. The eyes of all that wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. That would probably include us, wouldn't it? The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. You know, that's a great thing to remember, that God is righteous in all his ways. And everything he does, he's righteous. Sometimes we may not understand it, but he is righteous in all his ways. And holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. When you call upon God, he is nigh. That means he's near. When you call upon him, he's there. Immediately. He's there. You could be in the darkest, worst, most evil place on the face of the earth, and if you call upon God, he's there. Isn't that great? To all that call upon him in truth, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him or respect him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. Well, you know, that's pretty cool because we know that we are on what side of that coin? We're on the good side. So that means that he will preserve us. Because we are already guaranteed that, right? We have eternal life. And throughout the epistles, I think, you know, I don't know if it's in every epistle, but in some way or form or another, it makes reference to the fact that God has saved us from the wrath. He saved us from the end times, from, you know, that horrible time. Then in verse 21, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Certainly one of the things that we can do to imitate God is we can bless him. He blesses us, we can bless him. We can give as he gives. So that's a little bit of giving, you know, imitating God as givers. So that's a wonderful thing. I will close with prayer. And then you could run up and just hit stop on that. And then you have to hit something, finalize. Okay, God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us and protecting us, for what a great and loving God you are and how you are giving in so many ways that we just can't even imagine. And that if we just take a little time to look, we'll just be awed and overwhelmed by how giving and loving and caring you are for each and every one of us. And that when we really think about it and really look at it, we can live that life that you've called us to, that we can give in every aspect. And we thank you for this. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.